The words from our Savior Jesus in this morning's Gospel, Luke chapter 20. He began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, leased it to some tenant farmers, and went away on a journey for a long time. When it was the right time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect his share of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenant farmers beat the servant and sent him away empty-handed. The man went ahead and sent yet another servant, but they also beat him, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. He then sent yet a third. They also wounded him and threw him out. The owner of the vineyard said, "What should I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenant farmers saw him, they talked it over with one another. They said, "This is the heir. Let's kill him so that the inheritance will be ours." They threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. So, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenant farmers and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "May it never be." But he looked at them and said, "Then what about this that was written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush the one on whom it falls." That very hour, the chief priests and the experts in the law began looking for a way to lay hands on him, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. The Gospel of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is how we were taught to look at people. 30-day accounts, 60-day accounts, 90-day accounts, delinquent. That was my summer job when I was in seminary. We collected bills over the phone, and we had these headsets, and we could click on numbers, and people would pick up, and we weren't supposed to identify ourselves right away. We had to ask if we were talking to so-and-so buyer, the person who was delinquent on their loans. And then when we were talking to the buyer, then we'd introduce ourselves and we were instructed to say, "Why are you past due?" Talk about a way to begin a conversation. Not everyone really liked that. I don't know how many times people said choice words that you shouldn't hear anywhere. I won't repeat them in church. And it helped me grow a little tough skin, a little bit of tough skin. It was a good job in that way. But sometimes it felt a little heartless. And what sometimes happened was the really heartless part wasn't the fact that we were collecting on bills. It was that there were dealers out there who were making people to sign contracts, urging them, encouraging them, manipulating them sometimes, when they were on a fixed income, when they didn't have the means. They were pulling the wool over their eyes so that they were locked into this thing just in order to sell their products. And we had to hear that through the grapevine. We sort of had to hear that after talking to the old woman who was in trouble because her farmhouse was backing up in the septic tank. She had all these emergencies going on and she couldn't possibly pay for the alarm system that had been sold to her, and that was way more costly than any alarm system I've ever heard of. We had to hear that sort of from rumors and from other people. And in those cases, we had to bump it up to a higher authority. And that's what we're going to do with the parable today. We hear about this grapevine of trouble that the master, the landowner who had prepared this beautiful grapevine grapevine, this grape, this vineyard, who had prepared this land. He'd cut things out of stone and perhaps built a tower, which was normal back in those days, and leased it to these tenant farmers. He had to hear how his servants were mistreated. And in the end, it's not always easy to see grace in this parable. It's not a happy note at the end of Jesus' parable here. But what turns out is that God really is gracious. And what we find out is that there is God's grace through the grapevine. We're going to see exactly how. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to go visit wine country before, with all of the terraces and rows of construction where they put up these little gates and fences and canopies with juicy grapes dripping all over the place. It's a sight to see, because usually it's a pretty nice climate too. We enjoyed wine country in Missouri when we were there. Someone had a wedding reception after they got hitched, and I got to put them together in marriage by the grace of God during that eclipse a couple years ago. And it was just beautiful. And it was a special day. I'm not sure how many people would want to get married during an eclipse, but they thought it was pretty awesome. And so we enjoyed that day in wine country, just looking around at all these grapevines and the beautiful land. And this is what the landowner did for these tenant farmers. We can envision it in that way, that it was really nice country. And he really did a gracious thing for them. He set them up for success and gave these farmers a chance to produce. But what did they do? They rejected the servants who came for the fruit. They didn't give up their produce. They were really pretty mean people. Now, you know the saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You'd expect in Jesus' parable that the landowner would actually send police with warrants instead of servants with requests. Please give us the produce. And it doesn't always make sense to our ears to see that he keeps sending these servants. But you know what? That's exactly how God treated Old Testament Israel, isn't it? He sent his servant Moses to a people who whined and complained about being freed from slavery in Egypt, who whined and complained when they received miraculous food, who were brought to the doorstep of the Holy Land, and still they didn't like the leader God had sent them. Fast forward in Israel's history to wicked Queen Jezebel, who routinely persecuted and slaughtered the prophets of God. God sent Elijah, who would face off with Ahab and Jezebel, and who would tell them things they didn't want to hear, like, repent, turn from your sin. God sent servants like Jeremiah, who was put in the stocks, who was lowered into a muddy cistern, who was persecuted and barely made it out alive several times, just so that God could tell these people, I love you. I want you to change your sinful ways. Why would you die under my law? Come and hear my promises. Come and be a part of the truth. Come and be a part of the promise of the Messiah. And so our landowner is really a lot like the God of the Old Testament, as well as the God of the New. The Lord of the vineyard has always had the right to receive fruit from people whose landscape he has made pure and beautiful. How about you? Have you given the Lord the fruits of his labors of salvation for you? Have you approached God with the humility that says, God, you gave up everything for me, and you've given me your word to the prophets. You've sent me friends with the Christian good news. You've offered me grace. You've sacrificed yourself for me by taking the time, by walking with me through every trouble. Have you made God the center of your heart? Because that's what the Lord wants most of all. What he truly desires and prizes is the heart of those who belong entirely to him. He loves it. For those hearts who withhold the produce, Jesus offers pure grace. He's abundantly patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but to come to the knowledge of the truth. He didn't want his people evicted. He didn't want them put in chains. He kept sending servants because he loves. You see how the Lord has shown patience to you. Maybe there were years of your life when you didn't want to have anything to do with his messengers. Maybe there was a time when you lived your life in defiance of God's will and you separated from God for a while. You separated from the church, your brothers and sisters and Jesus. You put him aside because he didn't fit in your new life or the way that you wanted to live. Guess what, friend? God is still patient with you. God still sends servants and not policemen. God still comes to you with his love and grace, even though what we deserved was his final judgment. He's still holding out his hope and his love for you in his heaven, because he wants you to have faith in the benefits of his promise. That's the grace of God's word. There's also the grace of God's Son. When it seemed like God's patience, the landlord's patience, had stretched out too thin already, what's this? He sends his very own son. Now, the logic might seem foolish to us. Okay, at least they'll respect my son after they've beaten these other servants and thrust them out of the vineyard. And sure enough, what happens? God, who seemed so foolish, sure enough, his son, in the foolishness of the cross, was put to death. We learn through Matthew that some of Jesus' audience called out when he said, what's that vineyard owner going to do? What's the landlord going to do? They called out, the Lord of the vineyard should bring his might and men and have all of those wicked tenants cut up and killed. And in Luke's account, it seems like Jesus affirmed that. Yes, that's exactly what the Lord of the vineyard would do. But then there are people who shout out and say, Lord, may this never be. Lord, may this never happen. Friends, sinners, we're about to follow that way to the cross in Holy Week. We're about to see Jesus go to that death that seemed so foolish, that just seemed so unwise. Instead of coming with all of his power, he came with all of the shame and torture of an instrument of death at the time, the cross. But as it turns out, God's ways are higher than ours. As it turns out, God thinks in ways that we don't, to accomplish what was now to happen, the saving of many lives. The death of God's own Son was part of his plan to reconcile the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Not merely because of Jewish leaders. Jesus was murdered also because of us, also because of our sin. Because all too often we have been like those wicked tenants. But which we might not see in the parable is something truly gracious, something truly special, is that Jesus died also for us. Let me tell you a little bit about Corey. Corey was a young lady who liked to share with her friends at school that Jesus died for her. She loved to tell the story because she knew it was true. And they would talk about it at recess, sometimes during class discussions, oftentimes after school, when they got together for slumber parties. Corey was always talking about her faith. Well, as time went, Corey grew up, everyone became adults, and she didn't necessarily run in the same circles. But she stumbled into one of her friends from days past. She had heard through the grapevine that this friend actually got pregnant out of wedlock and gave birth to a baby. When she stumbled into this friend, she frowned. But it didn't faze her friend. Corey's friend smiled and said, I'm so glad I ran into you because I wanted to thank you. My boyfriend's family really put pressure on us not to have this baby, to abort this baby. And it's because you spoke so passionately back when we were young ladies in school, back when we were friends, about how special life is and how beautiful it is for babies and how terrible it is to kill, that we have this beautiful little gift of God now. And she introduced the baby to Corey. Corey smiled because at first she thought this was going to be tricky. But now she knew that her friends were listening a lot more than she ever suspected. The same thing is true in our parable. There is still time for God's grace. And that's exactly why Jesus told what he said. This is exactly why he directed this parable to the Pharisees and teachers of the law, the experts who dismissed him and shunned him like some broken stone that didn't belong in God's building. It was because maybe this time they would listen. Because with God's law and God's heart, God's encouragement and his grace through the grapevine, maybe these men would repent. In fact, sometimes we see Pharisees pull through, like the two men who buried Jesus. Sometimes we see Pharisees converted to the cross, like St. Paul, who wrote quite a bit of the New Testament and was maybe the greatest missionary the church has ever seen. Jesus leaves us with this grim picture because he wants to remind us we ought to have a healthy fear of the Lord. He doesn't want to scare his people. He wants to sober us. He spoke this parable to those who called for his crucifixion, but who had not yet put him to death. People who were still living, people who still had time to repent. And now he's speaking to you while you have time to repent. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, use every day to say sorry for your sins, because they keep popping up. Use every day to drown your old flesh so that a new man might arise. Use every day to remember your baptismal promises, because there the Lord has planted on you his adoption and started a fruitful vineyard of produce and good works and repentance that goes on until we are with him in eternity. Use every day, because we'd like to say with these people, may it never be. May it never be that someone goes to destruction. May it never be that I lose the faith. May it never be that the rock is dropped from my hands. May it never be that my love for God weakens. May it never be that I free myself from his hold. May we be among those who rejoiced as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. May we be among those who rejoiced and wept at the same time when he died on the cross. May we be among those who were so unexpected when he did as he said he would do and rose from the dead. May we be among those who gather in wonder at his empty tomb. And may we be among his children whom he spares from destruction and brings to eternity with himself in heaven. Amen.